Hey, yeah. We're at the Bohondas Motel. We're supposed to meet the UFOs right here in the parking lot.
Hey,
late again.
Hey, Doug. Hey, am I late?
Yes, we're all late. Because it's a subterranean hour, and it's always more than an hour. And less than a show. Yes, it's a scary, scary show. Yes, but we didn't stay away from the show, did we, Palmer? We were there. It was scary.
I remember. I was there, too. I saw the canisters coming up over the hill.
Yes, setting everything on fire. There we were, marching out of Dioxinville with everything we owned packed into those barrels. Horrible treads. Dragging them across the landscape of Missouri. And pushing him into the river.
Philo's hell home.
Now, do you want to be an overman in a church that makes you grow dioxin in your own backyard?
Yes.
A special hello to the caller with the dollar.
Yes.
Well, down here at the bottom of the space well, things are really getting wet.
Giant luxury cruiser. The Axis run in between the two planets.
Yes.
The shuttle.
Welcome to
the
amazing thing.
The love craft.
Millions and millions of dollars on this craft, and then they put this cheap $20 digital delay in the system.
Digital delay in the system.
Well, it's a kind of situation where you have to buy as much as you can and fill the room up with lights and dials and find out how much power you have within the church. And just how many posters you can get from Dobbs Central. Here the film shows Dobbs Central.
Ooh, the giant pipe is puffing
my giant
own
building.
That's a pipe.
Why do they keep it off the
Look
ground
at that.
Like that?
Well, it's secret and mysterious.
This mighty old film here, isn't it?
Yes.
Looks like it's
the sprocket
retired.
Holes are going wild. No.
It's a little bit of over.
Can't you get that tuned in a little bit better there?
Yeah, actually, you don't.
There, you can see it now.
Yeah, here's Dobbs Town from the air. You can see the part in the giant head as a smile breaks out.
What are those little containers down there around the bodies?
Those are where the dots come in. When they're shipped
the
to
dots come
Dobbs
in those
Town.
Well,
you 55-gallon drums full of dots.
You know,
it's really cold out here. I can't imagine how the aliens stand this all the time.
Well, they grow these dots, Gary, in order to take over our bodies.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
for every dot on the Dobbs face, there's a zombie out there waiting for instructions.
Well, tell them to send us that dollar to box 1189, 2000 Center Street, Berkeley, South Monitor. You can see the zombies as they demonstrate in 7 more dots. They're hearing the dots to the face right now.
Actually, it's
from left to right, you can hear the dots leave the launcher and go right to the surface of the face.
From bouncing through the studio,
yes,
quite
the
trying to use some
not
of the dots
quite the right
in the video
dot games. Will
they're
slip
all
off the
same
face
size
and fall forward.
It's
really amazing what they can do with those dots. In fact, if you've just got a pipe in your home, it's really amazing what you can do with just a pipe. But, of course, you'll have to write to Subterranean Church for that pipe. And now, your letter
and
goes on its way in the post office and straight to our headquarters, where it's read by 1,000 little overmen. Then it's filed and put away, and then they write some more reports about your letter. Oh, yeah, okay, well, that's it. And this is the bad part right here. I think they're giving you a
I don't like the
less
looks
than
of this
satisfactory
Doug.
Gets along
Look at that.
With others.
He's got a bad attitude here.
He's got one of those little unhappy
See?
Job space grades.
Two check marks. Well, maybe we ought to saunter over to the
Subgenius Cafeteria?
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a place that
here
one.
Here in the radio hotel all night
hell well.
Show.
Trey, you
really,
have
really hard to
once
keep
again.
It together. Just came in on
this
normal
clip now because
it's okay. And
as you can see,
well, you know, I bought Paula Hamburger.
Little green dinosaur with her.
Yeah, that little cute little dino she keeps.
They test.
Well, that thing's as smart as two whales.
And your clone.
Yeah, but
piercing.
Look at it.
New monitor.
It can change shape. I wouldn't touch it too hard there. Well, maybe we ought to saunter over to the,
shoot that.
He's kind of like, come in and take the show over.
I'll shoot him. I want to shoot stuff this morning. I'm just going to shoot something.
I don't really have any script.
I don't got to shoot him.
They're tired of finding burnt matches all over the interior of the spacecraft.
Hey, where's my homework? Is it around here?
These are the people for the Planet X calling. Now either answer or die.
I remember the fish.
Script.
There were fish on
What page are you guys on?
Oh, we're on page 63 here. Oh, okay. Subdinis go crazy on air kill cells.
Like big
public service announcement from Honda's Corporation. Right.
It's Little Richard. You know, they made him younger and white, and now he's actually working.
Am I on the air?
I want to tell you, I'm real sick of the Church of the Subgenius because I keep sending them the money and they don't send me anything back.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm calling. I'm the guy that owns the station.
Mr. People?
Yeah, Mr. People. Mr. Subscriber are people.
I've heard of you.
You know, subscribers are people too. So let us on the show, okay? I'm going to come down with all my friends.
Hey, listen. When do I get
listen,
paid?
Listen, just...
Okay, well, the people will send the checks in, but just keep the show going, okay?
How long?
We're going to talk about aliens, right?
You call this a show?
Right, we were going to talk about UFOs, but the sound effects left.
Planet X, right? Well, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore because actually I think Bob moves in mysterious ways and some of those giant dots are going to come bouncing through the studio.
Hey, Doug,
if you don't get funny quick.
Yeah, they're back.
I can hear them.
They're back. Doug?
I lost
can I talk to Bob Nelson for a second?
What do you want, punk?
Bob, we've got a job for you up here in the saucer.
Oh, yeah?
What time is that? Well, actually, we want you to wash the dishes and soak all the mics in benzene, okay?
It's amazing. I don't know how we did this, but somehow or the other, the show got caught under the wheel of the car. We were behind
the show.
The continuity
too many
fell under the table.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you once again, why are you listening
can you
to
help
this?
Us?
Why are you here
I don't know
now?
What's going on here in the station.
There are people
what is it?
Around the world who listen to this show at different times than you do and wonder
Paul, it's a
themselves.
Paperclip, that's why.
Without question,
there's no continuity in the show because it's a paperclip that was supposed to hold the show together.
To listen to the show and glean from it the
well, don't let the subscribers in. I know they're calling up and asking to be on the show, but
there might be a better time of slack ahead for all of us. There might be a time in which
$15 on the station doesn't mean
sense
that you get to come down here
some warmth and welcome.
Tell us what to think.
A long,
I don't know,
woolly
guys.
Gone people.
The front door was open.
Represented by
Reedy.
Oh, it's okay. Well, it's okay. Well,
what's this thing?
No, that's,
somebody's
that's
trying
the
to
automatic
call us. We're trying
horn.
To call somebody. Who knows what's going on?
These people
the,
trapped in the station. With
the famous Osborne.
What is going on here in the station?
I know that you remember the day that I interviewed Carrie Thornley. Yes, here on this show. It was frightening, and it was future, and it was perfect, and it was pluperfect, and it was past participle, and it was dangling participle, and it was a man without a mic, and a country without a name, and a band without a chord.
Yes.
Yes. And the Bahondas Motel,
Dr. Trello.
There's a magic number.
Drop
yes,
another
the
quarter.
The eternal record of slack.
We get three callers for a quarter. Oh, there.
Okay.
Looks like there. Now move
pressing
it.
The right
now
to
the left.
Reach the
see,
drill
order.
Where is he? Where's that caller?
Drilloid,
get the
there?
Caller to shoot.
Where's Drilloid?
Drilloid, keep pressing the fire button. There.
Wake him up. Force him to be on
sure
the show
work.
Against his will.
They're hitting the radio.
See if we care.
See him? They're sweeping down over the top.
Where's Doug Smith?
If you get
who's
6,000 points, you get an extra call.
Who is Doug Smith? Which one is Doug Smith? Oh, that one. Thank you. Yes. Once again, a doctor refuses to answer. The highest compliment a subgenius can pay.
Yes, it's the highest compliment a subgenius can pay.
Ignore the show.
To ignore this show.
No, we were going to talk about normal things. situations that arise in everybody's life. The glowing lights, the voices in the head.
Smoky sound effects coming out of the radio to consume your
very poorly done taste. Monsters.
Yes, you'll think the bad thoughts.
Let's do it. Do it. That's what we say
Jones,
on our radio
Jones.
Show. Oh, Jones. Oh, no, yeah, it wasn't Jones. It was Jerry Gilmore. That's who it was. He was the guy that gave us the last instructions for the last radio show.
On the radio, Jones.
Well, it's scary, and we know that a lot of people are listening right now. We didn't believe it, but the amazing amount of mail that we've gotten from very strange people in Hayward and...
You know, you could stop us if you wanted to call in. You could stop this travesty of broadcasting.
Yeah, we saw the backstage passes for Planet X.
We saw the long queues waiting to get on the ships. We saw the terrified, panicked faces of the radio listeners as they wake up too early.
The food's coming different. We just have to figure out the things.
Yeah, well, I know how this works. You'll get the good callers.
Oh, no,
and you'll have
the
good
killer pussies.
And everybody will be nice and witty and have things to say.
No, no, that all happens in the car ride
you'll
home.
You'll take all the good stuff, but no, I'll be at home sleeping like
a... Yeah, you wouldn't even listen to
like
the show.
Like a listener.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sleeping like a listener when you're not on.
That's what he wants. Since I'm not on the show, I won't even get a call.
You brought her in on one of those tours and left her here, and now she's all of our bosses, and all she does is tell us where to go and give us the money.
Agent Hughes, you've overstepped security regulations. 612, please step into the disintegration chamber.
Yes, it's true. Gary just wanted to return to his mammo. He could hear the radio transmission, and he remembered the messages from home.
I want my wallet back, guys.
We're talking to the sub deenies. Unfortunately, we can't just listen. We have to talk, too. You're not a sub genius?
Sub genius military school. I'm sure glad I came to this.
Yeah, well, you'll get straight with Bob. Don't
SMA, sub genius military.
Don't worry, it'll be okay.
Now I can hear the messages in the same ones that were in Gabriel French head. Yes, I was happy. I gave all my property and everything away.
They had taken down my Malaysia.
Some guy from New Mexico kept calling.
During the break.
Yeah, it just seemed to be the same kind of thing. It's like kind of an audio postcard, you know. It was somebody's grandfather.
Time's up.
We'll give that message to Bob Dobbs, if you wish. We will send it directly to him in Malaysia. Thank you very much.
Doug, like it or not. Look down there.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell. See over there in the shadow? Is that a... Tell me if I'm Doug. I don't think I can see it.
It's a dollar.
It is a dollar. It's kind of
George Dobbs. Oh, yeah. Younger brother of Dobbs.
Yeah, right.
Slightly less successful.
Dollar
Dobbs. Just was president.
Call him.
Yeah,
until he got thrown over.
But then somebody broke him into little pieces, and then all he had left was this show.
Nothing but
Bob Nye didn't even have
They're breaking all those presidents.
You know, I
don't
know.
Right.
We need a couple of depresso. They sure go through a lot of money.
We need to keep on a couple of them there. I think we got to
The church started out in dollars.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but look at
dollars
it is
tax.
Now. Zandy's house.
Yeah. Well, he's the president now.
Yeah.
We can talk about all our friends' children.
Selling favors on the Capitol steps. Hi, Zandy. Hey, listen, I need a mammal for Gary.
You've turned off your radio and you've gone back to sleep.
Yes, just like that, caller.
So now it's time for
the doctor.
Subdini doctor.
No. I was just talking about how we take the liver out of the Overman and put it directly into the Stang Monster. Actually, it's true. They used his lungs in his case.
Do you know those guys?
The lungs? Yeah, I know the lungs.
Well, I think it's time for another martini.
Right now.
Yeah, I think a martini.
Hey, Paul, can you give him another cigarette?
Yeah, sure, Doug. Here,
give me a
pack.
Couple of cigarettes, would you?
And get a cigarette for the baby, too, will you?
Yeah.
All right.
The sushi. Sushi's good, huh?
This
is a good party.
How did they get it to burn like this?
This subgenius church.
Hey, have you seen Stang?
Hey, this subgenius church.
Yeah, I think he's over there. I think he was talking. He's talking to Reverend Hambo. Hey,
I'm a doctor again now. Yes, being a doctor.
Somebody get me a beer.
Bad, I can't stand it.
Being a doctor in a baby ward is no easy thing.
No,
especially when I'm those babies day and night, trying to make my way through school selling babies.
Don't hurt the baby. It could be you someday.
You want salt on it?
Please, they're not even crying.
No, that's the amazing
thing. Finally sold
thing
a bunch of babies to Connie Dobbs and made him baby. Yeah, I knew I hit the big time.
Here you go, Connie. Here's a meaty baby.
You can write a whole book for you.
A little
Nelson baby. It'll do the whole show for you. And here's a Bofan baby. It'll build the house and put speakers in it for you.
Oh, yeah, well. Now it's only with $2 after you smack
it. I heard they found a whole bunch in a warehouse up in Sacramento.
Actually, the government's been making those for a long time, and this is the only place in the state of California they actually make them.
Crut man. Crut will grab you by the crut and throw you on the crut.
The two halves of the brains.
And then make you write a book.
Yes, called My Life in Crut. Here they are practicing the ancient Japanese art of crut food. No, actually,
but that's just the way it's stuck in now, the time mode. So if any of you know exactly how we get out of that time mode,
there carried them away to safety.
Incoherent show rambles on aimlessly.
8484425.
Yeah, you might think that, but actually, this show knows what it's talking about.
We've been listening.
And that's the scary part, because you think that this is all.
Yeah, it's
kind
just
of a ridiculous
and sickness and death and
snowball rolling down
and
dirty
heaven
street
lasts all year. But no, it's just a radio show.
It's just a radio show.
The same
you
may as just wish that you were deaf,
listening over the last year,
that you could
see enough clues
so that the puzzling evidence would go away. But no, it's just a radio show.
You'll notice they're using $1,963.
The headache lasts all year. I mean, that's not much to pay. Just
the interior joke
to get us
right. Etched on your brain pain by staring at the book.
Really,
through those
a little
radioactive
pain, a little sickness, a little tear, a little sadness,
or Jones,
a tiny little headache that lasts for hours.
Who cares? It's always
yeah,
the same.
Who cares? Yes. And well, that's now, the thing, you know. It's very little to pay for a radio show. Just a little headache that lasts all year. That's all you have to do is just sign up for that one headache, and then you get the show all the time. Get a job and work, or
no, that's
spend
okay
all your money on food and pay your bills.
No, that's okay.
You know, we're not going to suggest that,
no,
that you worship the head of Arnold Palmer or, you know, some other golfer that doesn't even care whether you live or die. We're just asking
you
for just a little piece of your brain.
We ought to break this hierarchy here. I mean, you know, sure, you think you got the luxury here of sitting at home. And, like, you know, our roles are defined. Like, we're on the radio, and you have a radio.
And you're laying in bed, you're asleep.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
Suddenly you wake up with a headache.
That's right. You can change things. We don't have to be trapped into these roles.
No. You can be the listeners. We'll be on the radio. We'll do it any way you want. We'll be on the radio and you can be the listeners. You can try it any way you like.
Try it out.
Yes. And who are the Yakutis men and why won't they go away and what are they doing to bother us? But why do we actually like them, even though we hate them?
Then a street person will probably consume all our continuity.
Yeah, this is sort of like the hands of Victor Jara, except this is the head of Arnold Palmer. And they have a lot to do with each other, actually.
He's got to win some kind of award there.
Well, you know, we do want to raise that.
It already has.
The front of a.
You can see the meters going to red.
There
is the correctness. Detection unit goes wild.
Now, many people think that Arnold Victor
worked the program, same person. Went on to Las Vegas to make it big with all the equipment.
Another Vic.
Had his own Vic stage tomorrow. Show.
Yes.
He forgot about those.
It was even Sundinis. More spectacular.
Yeah,
you
well,
see them. They're leaving the landing carriers now, ready for their life, new life here on Planet X, the golf planet.
Yes, yes. Here we are in the clubhouse now, waiting to speak to one of the docs.
Here's your putter. Here's your 9-iron.
Yes.
Welcome to the golf planet, sir. Here's your putter. Yes.
Here. Sure is a lot of rough in here.
Here's your 7-iron.
How'd they get all this sand inside?
Here's your 23-iron.
Good handicap here.
You're finally home, and you're listening to your own show.
Over and
it's the same. Over and over.
It is your own show because...
Because you're dubbing in the parts that we forgot and saying it back to us in a corrected manner. Well... Let's bother Drelloid again.
No, it's time for his 3 o'clock feeding.
If you know what I mean. Being from the interior joke, here we see him as he goes to the concert. This is exactly what Drelloid saw as he went to see...
Trance state here.
Minimal Man.
Yes.
Yes, it was scary.
First they ran the tape backwards, and then they ran it forwards.
His whole trip to San Francisco flashed before his eyes.
He could have been on this show and... Yeah.
And suddenly...
Well, we're after your ears.
Sterno and Jager's face loomed up before him.
This grunt until you can't stand to hear it anymore.
Yes.
Just like all those tones, you'll be on the other side of the wall.
Jerry, are you on the wall?
Hey, this is our show, so you do what we say, right?
Now, take your radio and tune in to us.
And throw your chainsaw over the cliff and that head after it and that stupid newspaper and then all that food.
And mail your wallet to us.
Yeah.
Now.
Or else.
And kill me. Or else.
Okay, it's in the mail.
All right.
In that order.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, don't cut in.
Okay.
Yeah, and send your wallet, too.
I think it's wonderful that all the daytime subscribers help us talk to our good friends.
It's the nice
in heaven.
The nice
our dead friends in heaven are with us by telephone.
Looking down
through the courtesy of
on the show.
The dollars.
Can you tell us, Dr. Drelloid, is it cold in subgenius heaven?
Just as squirrels gather nuts.
Okay in heaven.
Hard season.
Do you like it okay up there?
Summer
okay.
It's
cold, soft.
Sure, no, I thought it'd be, you know.
The cold
winter. Well, when we were in subgenius heaven, we were forced to wear uniforms that were made out of the feathers of it, discarded by the other angels. And actually, I started breaking out. My skin didn't like that.
Well, God lets us detune our hearts.
Yes,
God does detune our hearts,
just as he detunes our guitars.
Yeah, well, that's real nice, but... Oh, there he goes.
Do you have an answer for the poor listener?
I didn't hear the question.
He wants to know how to get rid of that giant knot on the back of his foot gland.
No clues.
No clues.
Just an answer, please.
No symptoms.
9 seconds.
Look, it's the size of a golf ball and slightly warmer than living human flesh. What is it? I am.
Come on, girl. It's just like last week. You get one flash of her on the street, and if you don't do it right, then that's it, you know?
Yeah, when that beautiful girl walks along,
and
she looks like your mother, and you want to grab her and say, Mom, Dad, but all you can do is stare. Well, that's me.
Yeah, and when you hear the sounds of outer space, well, that's me, too.
Yeah, when you hear all too many sound effects and all those voices talking, well that's me, too.
And when you hear yourself trying to talk, but all you hear is our voices, well, that's you.
Too. And when you've got your own show for hours and hours and hours, well, that's me, too.
Well, that's me, too.
And if you've got your own motorcade just like that, well, that's you, too.
Colliding into the small light craft over the densely populated city, well, that's me, too.
And if you see Janer just whip on a chainsaw and cut the city in half and then let the pieces fall in the water, well, that's me, too.
And if you see Rodan, the Japanese space monster, winning design awards through international competitions, well, that's me,
still there?
Okay, look what we're going to do. We're going to put you on the air. Okay.
Now, Drilloid, don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch knobs or anything, but we're going to let you talk.
We got the camera pointed in, and we think we can tell you how to defuse the bomb.
All right. The bomb that goes off inside that one box is going to cause a chain reaction across the whole face.
On the telephone.
Right out of that.
And I think if you move around too fast, you're going to set it off.
Okay, so shut up and let him say it.
Look, you see the little, like, green light there on the side of the bomb?
Right, no, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the fast forward. Now, you don't want to punch the fast forward button. That'll set the bomb off right away.
Oh, good.
Okay, so shut up and let him say it.
Okay, now, first of all, you get you a bow saw. Bow saw, about 30 feet of barbed wire, 30-06, and a four-wheel drive, and a quad-track transmission.
Okay.
Oil.
Oil. A pot.
Pot oil.
Okay. And then what? Yes.
Mix them all together. Make them at about 3 oven.
As Drilloid filled in the recipe for just how to do it, the subgenius doctors made their own UFO.
It doesn't make any sense to me, Doug.
They followed the blueprints.
Yeah, I've eaten those things before. They just sit in the oil.
I don't know.
It's kind of like boys' night down at the bowling alley.
I'm going to call the station and complain about this guy.
I say
the doctors
wandering off into fascism.
Give me my dollars worth right now.
You can prevent that slide into fascism, even though it took place well over 40 years ago.
As the tiny car crashed into my legs, I thought, what a wonderful morning
they brought the pieces over.
They tried to be happening here on the
present show for you.
And you listening. This insipid music that reaches deep into your mind gives you the true message.
Put the other parts back in.
Even the chickens are up at this hour.
Look, I don't care how Nelsonized this show is. It has to be worth 75 minutes. All we got is a bunch of broken showpieces all over the studio. The continuity's rolled out the door and down the stairs and
out into the street,
a fire
trying to make its way
to
Bart.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Perhaps to get to a better city, maybe Fremont or Concord.
Or Alviso.
Well, this is a warning, what they did. Well, all you poor devils, things are more mixed up than you've ever dreamed. What was up is down. The priorities are all screwy. You're fretting if your hair looks okay while bladder cancer is bursting out the front of your designer jeans. Yeah, this is bad talk. Nobody's going to listen to anything else. You won't look at TV unless body parts or cars are jiggling or crashing on it. Or you won't even taste your food unless it has some nerve drug in it. And you haven't used your other senses since you were five. And you sure as hell aren't going
to
stop what you're doing, are you? You're not going to stop until somebody much bigger, much
guy that was there,
and much more self-assured.
The prophecy involved in this show, the prophecy
that you're
hearing right now,
and then just before you fry in a flash of radioactive hindsight, you're going to realize you stopped doing the wrong thing.
Flash in the pan.
Good God, what in the name of sweet screaming Jesus is this world coming to?
Space demons.
Indulge in mental Darwinism. Help discover the perfect money-making formula.
Yes,
get
sell
slack.
Bobs.
Keep meditating our way and don't waver from the Bob path. Give us your children, sign over your checks, send up your cars. Bob won't promise you that he'll prevent the end of the world, but as sure as hell see that you get front row tickets.
Yes, it's true. It was the end once again of another Subgenie show. And the desperate little caller was struggling to be heard. Screaming.
You see him there. Tiny,
wrestling at the other end of the wire.
Tiny omonuclei.
He was getting electrocuted by the message once again.
Hughes was tormenting him with the tweezers.
Pushing the little buttons and making the little caller
go faster and faster.
Jump up and down.
Wetting his pants.
Laughing as he stared at the monitor. I think Hughes is getting—he's just getting too used to the power, you know.
Yeah.
He just
radios like that.
Turns the system on and off now.
Goes to your head.
Scares a little. callers back there. Still a little caller struggles at the other end of the wire.
Yes. How many eyes?
You might be in New York. Next week you might be in Dallas. Next week you might be in Bolivia.
Upstairs.
But you can bet we'll be here with this music playing it this loud and hoping for a bright new music that keeps your pipe lit. Tribulation dollar.
Stop 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hey, look, the surf looks good. At least let's
cut the ending. Oh, we still have 15 minutes. Look, the guy says we have to reel up the. Okay, yeah. No,
don't pack up those sets
again.
Yet.
Okay, I think they're going to be bringing Stickman in soon.
Okay, bring in the rest of the show here.
Okay.
There's still 10 minutes of canned show left here.
That's right.
So you want to scoop it out? Gary, where's that food monster?
Welcome to
here,
all
Gary,
mail.
Just a minute. Food monster. I want
it. Put the show stretcher in with it, would you?
Okay, here, I'll stir up some
show extender.
Some
yeah.
Stretcher. Okay, here. That stuff's great.
Let us look. Yeah, it's made out of soybeans. Yeah, makes the show last an extra half hour.
As long as it's not bad for you at all,
we're still got a stroll in it.
Yeah, it looks like Hughes has gone after
Uberbrow.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put
Oogie Brow
or
Moody Brow. Yes.
Hey,
somebody that sends out the tape. The caller that dare not speak.
Caller Brow. Any one of the brows will do. He was a subterranean
the electric race. They broadcast the sex trances into me while I was in the courtroom.
Gary's trying to talk to you.
He was the mayor. Well, we never did make it to Planet X, and the aliens never did land.
No, but at least with
the UFOs never were talked about,
did we?
And the continuity never did come back.
After the aliens, if they don't land,
the box of jokes. Well, the UPS left a note saying that they tried to deliver it Monday.
Yeah, but luckily,
open in the mail. Most of the jokes were missing. Some of them were wet.
Yeah, we used the wet ones though.
Yeah, well,
actually, I gave some of those away at the airport.
We weren't supposed to use them. We were supposed to throw them away, and they were going to give us a check. Remember?
Yeah. Go ahead and set the computer, Gary. Roll
I bought those DNA towers too.
We'll end the show up.
How long are we going to be out here?
I think we'll get to the other planet before the end of the show, though.
Well,
it just takes a few minutes to get there. This planet is Smurf planet. It's really neat. You'll like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's cute here, even me.
Well, you know, this thing doesn't fit quite.
We don't even know
green lights there.
Anti-music and noise, that's our trouble.
Met those guys, but it's, this show's not at all like what I've been hearing.
No, this
those
isn't funny
shows.
At all. The
yeah,
other
show's
stuff was
all,
good. This doesn't make any sense.
I don't know
sense.
What's happening.
This isn't even
the
music.
The good part was at the end after I went to sleep.
Trying to talk to you and
you again.
And all you do is go booger snot on everybody.
Yeah.
You don't have the slightest sympathy for your listeners. Christ's sake now. Good
This is the show of endless beginnings.
Yes.
An endless ending. The show of endless beginnings. Yeah. Watch out now.
We're here in the endless thing audience.
Well, we'd like to thank the Wotan band for not playing tonight. We'd like to thank the doctors for not being on. We'd like to
what
thank Lies for not being here.
Well,
we'd
like
to thank Gary Gabofram for
not
being here.
To.
Thank Puzzled Evidence for not being here. Thank Bob Wilson for sleeping through the show.
And the list
thank everybody. Thank Sony for making the tape recorders.
Played
this show
on the air.
I thank you for making the tape
this
show was
views.
On. And we'd like to thank...
We just don't want to hear them. That's all.
We'd like to thank dinosaurs for donating their bodies as fuel that made all this plastic fall into place in time for us to save these shows and cut them and rebroadcast them around the world.
Radio for
and other
people.
Radios.
So until next week when somehow we mysteriously and magically appear exactly where you don't want us to, we have to say goodnight to the church and Dr. Palmer and
place where
that evidence,
got a word
which
in
is
edgewise.
The little folk
they settled down here and they
everywhere.
Filled in the bay.
So that's it. Show's
here
over, guys.
In the impolite area.
Pack it all up.
Doctors, take off.
Huh? What?
Serious?
Huh?
Are you being serious right now, or are you just on the show?
The doctors are always on the show, seriously. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know what I mean.
I don't want to hear any more of it.
Well, I don't know what I mean either. He took the form and pulled it out and tore it up on the floor. And you said, are you serious or are you just being on the show? And I said,
at the same time,
there's many, many things.
Suddenly, the doctor
I did get a request at the same time.
For no reason.
Suddenly, everything went black and I realized that I'd been cut off and shut off in a little tiny room where nobody was listening to me. And I was talking to this hot little plush felt red rubber tip microphone and not hearing a thing and seeing only little tiny lights, wondering why I was strapped to this chair and put into the studio that seemed to be rotating very rapidly with lights flashing off rhythmically, and it was a small man with a swollen head and hideously deformed eyes sitting behind the console pushing the buttons while pencils of light and energy flashed across my body, and I wondered why I was there and what did they want of me, and I couldn't figure out why I was sitting there, and they didn't say anything. They just kept flashing those lights at me and pumping those strange chemicals into me, and the man with the funny head, the leader, the man with a strange grin and the pipe.
Well, I just want to know, do you want to be in the church or out of the church? And where's your wallet?
The DC-9 pushed the button.
Yes. I didn't know that I'd been snatched up, and it wasn't really a dream until I saw these sacred nasal positions. And suddenly it all came back to me. And I realized that they'd stolen 4.5 hours out of my life when they put me in that tiny room and plugged all those wires into me and made me talk and talk.
Only an hour and a half tonight,
and talk.
Because you only paid for an hour and a half.
Off we go to the desk. Here are some situations I've never seen before. Scary little guys.
Look, there are people over there. Little Malaysian radio-controlled orangutans that dance around your Jeep and steal your batteries.
I think it's the film team over there. Well,
I can see right now.
They're filming Dobbs' story.
But why did they have to go that high to see him?
I don't know. Because he's a 900-foot dog.
This is the scene where they had to boom up because it's the giant Bob.
But as Dean pulls over towards
the size of that
huge
Bob, dots the size of boulders.
No wonder. Oh, I've never seen grain like that.
No wonder they made the sphinxes. Look, here are the jewels. We've got to get up to his forehead and pull one of those out of his eyes and get it back to Dobbs.
But watch out for the brow. Don't get caught in the brow. Whatever you do.
Tangled mess of wires and cables.
Yes.
Steve gets out on the driver's side.
Some kind of cybernetic unibrow.
We'll just push all this tape aside here.
Instantly, the gunman fires.
Sorry. Oh, look out! They're shooting at him!
Okay, get out of here real fast.
Rub a little Gabrogfran into the sore part there and you'll be okay.
I will suck all the money from
you. He's going to suck all the money from
our wallets.
We
told him that.
Vacuum cleaning flying saucer.
We've got caller number two just begging to get on this.
Hey, go to New York and hit the Pope of New York's wallet. It's bigger than anybody's.
I see what's happening now. And suddenly, caller, you're with us now. What's going on? Quick. Start shooting back.
Oh, come on. You got to defend yourself on the air.
Yes, it's no fun. We can't play this leader game now, man.
Or kill me.
Okay, let's drag the next caller.
Well, that caller didn't believe anything at all.
All the scary callers are gone.
Subgenius games. This is the beginning to chapter 19. The acu beating in the background continues.
And we are playing the high speed acu beating in the background. You can hear the high speed acu beating doctors talking very fastly. Ah, yes.
Almost nearly.
Another nun caller ringing the blue line.
Yes, I'm sorry. No, we're out of those three dimensional Arnold Palmer heads.
Come in.
You have the nerve enough to call. We have the nerve enough to listen.
Yes, and if
I'm
perhaps just insult
at the tie Bob Wilson. Nelson, what time is it?
Don't start the car in a studio again, Doug. Just because you want to listen to the radio.
I'm going to get back on the road. I'm a food monster.
Look, there's a caller.
Food monster. Caller.
Hello, caller.
We're on more. This is,
We do, too.
Wow, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm against UFO freebasing myself. I think it's a really insidious habit. You know, and then we think we still got somebody listening. Pardon me?
They're afraid of their dinners.
Of course.
They call us up
right.
to keep them company because they're afraid of food.
Food monsters.
Yeah. Food monsters.
We're polished off with this.
Food, food monsters.
Dessert
food, food monsters.
Food
monsters. Yes, the food monsters were on the prowl through the studio, eating all the old hamburger stubs and the leftover hot dog buns. The food
thank
monsters.
You, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, this is the last time we play this club. They don't give you enough to eat.
Food monsters.
I want royalties. I want dessert. I want postprandial liqueurs. I want the best cognac and the whole shot.
Yeah, well,
thank
it's a
goodness.
Good thing you're with us because it's fun to be the only thing keeping somebody alive.
Really?
Yes, and we're going to be having a news feature weekly
more
now
ways
called
than you
From
think
the Brow.
Is.
So if you have a subject you'd like the Brow to speak on, just
ask the Brow.
The nasal passages are cemented shut and the brain is pulled out and stored in a little jar overnight.
Yet the patient lives.
Oh, there it goes. Well, I dropped the jar, but the patient lives. The patient lives.
Ah, but
all because of the ministrations of the Gabrofam and this special plastic implement they use shown here.
Yes, just push
and now we'll show you that technique once again. Dr. Gabrofam?
Yes, thank you. Well, I believe that we have found out that the Wotan beast can be brought out of its grave for small periods of time by putting in more amounts of energy and electricity than was previously used, and that the new instruments, although dangerous, are very, very usable in the small little padded room.
And I lost my tool manual. I can't find where he's reading the circuitry.
No, you just take it directly off the charts now. The charts from Dallas tell us exactly how the Wotan music is to be.
The charts from Dallas.
There they went.
And that nice frame that
Dobbs
bought.
Thank you for this opportunity to
explain. Well, that's what
this
you get for doing your holographic records on plain old window glass.
That's right.
That we're t-shirts?
Oh,
yeah, sure.
We got t-shirts. Sure, we got 100%
Presley Evidence t-shirts.
Yes, indeed, with organic dyes. Guaranteed not to irritate your armpits. Hello?
What do subgenies believe happens after death?
That's the before life,
obviously.
I prefer the before life
it's
myself.
Check one of the
you
above.
Don't sound very excited.
Yes.
I wish we had more to offer.
Yeah, but you know.
That's all. That's about it.
We just have the answers to every problem in the world.
You get to meet Mickey Mouse. See, look in the look on your view monitor here. You see Mickey Mouse dancing around.
Well,
you get to meet people like that. Walt Brain.
Well, I think we answered this guy's question. We do have a caller waiting here on line number 660.
Oh my God, they're lighting up all over the board.
Many, many
is line 666. You're on the air.
Then you did.
I've seen Jehovah one a lot scarier than this before.
Boy, I've seen Jehovah one looking so scary.
I say 666, and he puts on these little dancing mice.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
No.
I thought it was Steve Wilcox.
No, that's the hand of Nernini.
Yes.
It's going to pull us out of here.
Okay, well, here, just grab one of the fingers, and we'll just lift up out of here.
Oh, there we go. Hey, funny little girl to help you
that's
out over
good.
There. Yes.
Your name is Maddox Brink.
Yes, it is.
From the Caribbean Export.
Yeah. That's right.
This is Mr. Brick and Ms. Ortiz.
Yeah, okay. This, well,
that's who did it.
I've heard this radio interview before.
Is this a Caribbean Export you're selling?
Yes. I'm selling Caribbean Exports.
Okay, well, I'll put it in the back of the truck here.
Small exports.
Let's drive on out to the plantation and have some
dehydrated exports.
I've got a UFO patent back.
Okay.
I don't think any
wait, it's like my flavor.
It's really sharp sounding. Now they see the speed
he's half alligator and he's you know,
I think it's the playback in my mind. He could have captured those alligators.
He's bragging all the time. You know, we have the brag of the subgenius. Well, that's based on the Mike Fink type brag from early American history. And see, we were just talking about Walt Disney versions of history. There's also Johnny Appleseed, Walt Disney's Johnny Appleseed. And there he is. He's walking along with a pan in his head, bare feet, and he's singing, "Oh, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord." It turns out he did sing that song all the time. Yeah, well, he was crazy like a fox because he wasn't just out planting apple trees. He was creating huge orchards, which he owned, which would produce cider, which is the most viable commodity, hard cider that ever everybody wanted.
That's right. Get high. Getting high was still important.
He did wear the pan.
And he was a religious nut.
And he was. He did believe in that religion which where that song featured over, well, not the Baptist religion, but more like closer, I think, right to now, Methodism back when they had circuit riders and so forth.
Somewhere else.
It's a,
not like Ivan Stang's no granddad. Voice.
I'm not exactly sure about now. That. Well, there were Methodist circuit riders in my ancestry immediately.
Oh, okay.
The Hall family.
Uh-huh. No doubt. And the theme of tonight's show, of course, is
so
many doctors and doctors.
Oh, yes. Burning Man and X-Day.
Or
what about X-Day?
Too many kooks spoil the brothel. Well, ask me about X-Day, and I'll tell you what about the cackling, the screaming, and the strange music that was heard day and night. The odd things hanging from the trees that might have been skins or cloths or whatever. We didn't look too closely.
That's a good idea.
And,
how many people came to see?
Another caller. Hello, caller.
More than last year, but that's not saying much, because last year Stang himself couldn't make it, and people felt his heart wasn't in it. Actually, of course, for obvious reasons, his heart was not there, but elsewhere. But now he's kind of pulling it together, except he's not going to be in Cleveland anymore. There's some problem where his wife's mother still lives there at the old age home, and she has many connections there. But they're in the big Texas ranch, doting over their dogs, who they love beyond all measure of reason.
Two different philosophies.
And
one is the...
why do they do this stuff every morning?
One is the southern version, in which the northern people come down and do the tour of the Stang Ranch and think, why don't you move? And the northern forces, that's their whole life is there.
Well,
and their mom's life is there, and so it's hard to leave these things.
To answer
especially because the mom.
Question most carefully, though I'm not sure I should, because one shouldn't badmouth the church, but it seemed like everything, you know, we were doing the entertainment. They weren't doing anything but sitting and watching, you know.
The royalty of Stan, of
no, the attendees were not participating
that
much.
Right.
They're all sitting there. Now, some of them did come up and participate, and I don't want to make it seem bad.
No,
but we have to do the work.
That's what I was just
saying
moments ago, is you have people that come and give, and then after a while you have many people who just come and take. And you don't. It's not everybody. It's just what's interesting to me is how many people do have fun with it when they can.
And then X Day comes to an end, and there's one day's beat between that and Starwood, which immediately starts. And now you've got hundreds of people on the land and pavilions and the Puffer Dome and all these structures and amazing panels. And I was on one of these with Vermin Supreme, Stang, of course, John Shirley was there, Fat Mandy also.
Hopefully that will be
enough. I hope so, too. And then also Harvey Sluggo Wasserman was there, and the wizard Otter Zell, who's the genuine article. All these folks were there, and I was on it too, and they were the subject of in the panel was, you know, what's coming up, you know, what next, all this bizarre stuff is happening, what do you see in the future? And so a lot of it turned into, you know, how are we going to get rid of Donald Trump? But at the very end, I was one of the last people to speak, and I said, now that we're cozily disposing of Trump, we're ignoring that on the borders of our empire, we've hurt millions of people, and they're not going to forget, in Syria, thousands are being tortured, and so forth, and, you know, all the stuff I've read about, you know, and we really should give some thought to that in our future projection, you know, how that's going to affect things. That went over pretty well with Harvey Wasserman, actually. He's an interesting character. He has a radio show called California Solartopia on KPFK. and I believe a podcast. And he's written some books like The Life and Death Spiral of U.S. History, from Digna Wida to The Trumpocalypse to Rebirth, and so forth. America's Gay Pot-Smoking Founders and Their Amazing Psychedelic Adventures. A Glimpse of the Big Light, Losing Parents, Finding Spirit, and, of course, the strip and flip disaster of America's stolen elections, along with Harvey Wasserman's History of the U.S. So this was an interesting panel and fun to be on. And I got to give a lecture on my own. It's funny because when I was applying to go to Starwood, I had to do it online, and so I'm following through online, and it says, please list all the workshops that you'll be teaching. You know, I thought, huh, what the hell? So I made up all these workshops that I'd be doing, and then later on, they agreed to let me come, but now I had to do the workshops. So one of them turned out to be not too bad, where I said I would do a workshop on, what was it, defanging? No, that's not right. Deflecting the conspiracy, you know, where I just spoke on that subject, and that went over very well. And we did our subgenius thing in the dome, which was, to my view, more fun than the subgenius stuff that we did at X-Day. For one thing, there are the fantastic projections on the inside of that dome. What it is it's the dome is full of air, and when you come in, you have to unvelcro the door and come in quickly and then close it, so it'll stay round and puffed up, and often it just starts to deflate when about a dozen people are coming through the door and they can't close it. But then, because it's this round surface, you can project a movie all above your head. Oh, nice. And all around you, and the psychedelic effects.
The planetarium of the subgeniuses.
Yeah. So that was quite nice to do. Yes.
And then, is nobody mentions Sequoia? Is that it?
I did in the Dobbstown nanoheliograph, but in fact there are snapping turtles in that pond. They have now appeared, great big ones too. So I wrote in the nanoheliograph that these are actually just tiny hatchlings of old Sequoia, you know, who turns out right. to be female all the time. And that reminds me of something that Flash said.
Sexes.
To flip over for a moment to Burning Man, Flash said that the Burning Man is and always has been a woman. It's been Patricia who dumped Larry at the beginning. That was the figure they burnt on the beach. And a few years ago, there was a fetus in the Burning Man's stomach made out of neon and so on. But they can't call it Burning Woman because that gives the wrong idea. It seems like we're a bunch of misogynists. You know, people are more behind a Burning Man than they would be a Burning Woman. But he said the Burning Man is always female, and people should understand that.
Here in Burning Man International Airport.
Yes, the airport did a land office business. Look, here's a blinky thing I got from Burning Man. Somebody gave it to me.
That was the most fun, in my mind, was the people would run up and give you stuff.
Well, really, you're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to.
I'm saying used to.
Well, an article in the BRC Weekly, the alternative newspaper at Burning Man, had the headline, "Your Playa Gift is Garbage." You know, it was come on, stop giving away these necklaces and these crude Burning Man things. You know, this is just moop. It's no good. And, so I went to Burning Man with two guys from the Antiques Roadshow TV show on PBS. One of them is a specialist in antique clocks and furniture. The other, a specialist in jewelry. And when we drove around in the TV car with Flash and John Alloway and Portland Gypsy Cab, we would come to a part of the show where we said, and now if you'll bring your playa swag forward, we have two experts from TV's Antiques Roadshow who will analyze it. And people would snicker and say, yeah, right. Then they'd be gobsmacked when these people who were actually recognizable to them came out and sat down, and they would take people's playa necklaces and put in their jeweler loops and do a very close analysis and say, well, I see chisel marks here, and this appears to be stamped out of a single sheet of plastic. But the chain, on the other hand, as you can see, clearly doesn't fit with this object. It almost looks as if it's come from an old-fashioned overhead toilet pull chain. And they would talk in a very learned way about these most transitory objects. And at the very end, they would kind of let them down a little bit by saying, but, of course, you can't judge the value of some sentimental object like that before they would offer of 75-cent value for it or something like that. Or they would transfer it into the barter economy and say, this is worth 2 cans of gasoline and 8 bottles of water. It was fun, I've got to tell you. If Burning Man survives in some form, it'll be fun to do next year. But we do tend to exhaust ourselves doing this show. It's hard to do, and the vehicle needs to be constantly maintained.
DB would get angry at the cupidity of the video people. I would always bring up how wearing that environment is. You mm-hmm. can't really know unless you've done it.
Yes.
You're so dusty and tired and hot. Been eating bad food and sleeping in weird places.
Or not sleeping in weird places.
And you have to give yourself a break.
You really do have to work constantly at one thing or another. But
And also all the exciting input like you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
There's all this stuff happening in a very short time. It's amazing.
But what I like about the TV car is that as we travel around, people see us doing our show. They see it through the TV-shaped aperture that leads into our little set. But we're sitting on the other side of that, and through the TV-shaped aperture, we're seeing all of Burning Man as we drive from one thing to another, to all these sites, to the temple, and we watched the folly burn. Fortunately, the wind wasn't coming in our direction because it was like Pompeii or something, with fire raining from the sky and huge numbers of people running and sizzling sparks and great big flaming pieces falling everywhere. That was, to me, more impressive than the more controlled fireworksy burn of the man. In fact, let me say, the man was a kind of anticlimax, because it started with him raising his hands and everybody screams and goes crazy. And the theme is metamorphosis. So he's partly out of this cocoon, which is like an egg, which is coming apart in spirals and so on. So it finally starts. The fire happens. The fireworks shooting out of the egg, out of the cocoon. The fire blankets the man completely. Now you see the man. The man is burning. And then the man just sort of slumps over. And then his head goes like so. And it's like he's tired out.
All visible on that DVD. And I've got to say.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah, I had the exact same feeling. I thought, this is one of those years where there's so much wonderful stuff going on in the periphery.
Yeah.
And the man is just, you know, it's okay. But it's
well,
not.
I remember in the past he'd stand there for 30 minutes while people were waiting for it to fall, you know, and would just, it was sturdily constructed.
Been there for an hour.
Right,
yeah,
and then
forever.
Finally it would fall. But this, before 5 minutes had passed, it slumped, and then its head slumped forward.
And the fireworks were,
fireworks are all right. It's hundreds and thousands of dollars of fireworks.
Yeah, but still, of course, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like it was all right. You expected fireworks. So here's
well,
the damn fireworks.
Nothing could be as good as Jim Mason's fire cannons back in the day, but those were dangerous. It was ruined.
Dan Dossman's
oil thing
was amazing.
That was terrifying, frightening, but that too didn't do quite what it was supposed to. It was sort of.
But it worked.
Oh, it worked in scaring the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, it's a daisy cutter pointed upwards.
Uh huh. But it made an enormous black cloud that covered the whole sky, that towered menacingly over everything. And it was an oil derrick, you know, and it had these
Maybe you should describe it, because most people weren't there.
Dan Dust Man built a giant oil derrick. And
oh, wait, you know what? Wait.
What is it?
I have to wake up. What?
Sunday morning.
Wish you were here.
Yeah, on KPFA.
This is Philip Muldery, host of The Sunday Show. Join me and my guests every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. We'll be talking about politics. We'll be talking about the state of things around us. Plus, we open the phones to your called-in questions and comments. That's every Sunday morning, The Sunday Show, on community-powered KPFA.
Hurricane Dorian crashed into the island nation of the Bahamas at its strongest hurricane on record, leaving widespread devastation and 20 people dead. But it weakened substantially in the days since, dropping from a Category 5 to Category 2.
So it's held within the celebration, within a celebration.
Well, Hare Stang always says he wishes he could go to Burning Man, but X-Day is in the way. You know, can't do all that at the same time.
See, that's another reason why it should be unfolded and stapled and folded.
Make all these events happen on the same plot of land at the same time. So you go to see X-Day, Burning Man, Starwood, South by Southwest, you know, have it all jammed together. Though you couldn't do Camp Tipsy, because that requires boats and water.
No, that, yeah, because he's reacting against the man that burns.
Sure, it's reactionary, but I had to admit it was a lot of fun, even though I got a lasting scar and a weird injury. But not as bad as poor Freddie Price, who the rattlesnake pumped all its juvenile venom into. Now, Freddie is redoing that Rolling Thunder review show. Did you see it while I was gone? It happened?
No.
He's doing this recreation of the Rolling Thunder review. And before, it had Eric McFadden and Robin Coomer in it. I don't think the version that's coming up does. But it's at the Ivy Room. And it's this month.
Oh, yeah.
So you did see that notification.
I did.
That looks very interesting.
Yeah.
And there is a Shakewell show also coming up. And other things are coming up. I've made notes, copious notes, about all the stuff that's coming up. Not that I have those notes here.
Living in the Bay Area.
Yes.
Well, make notes about the stuff.
Usually I can't go because I've got all these shows on the weekend and the place when it, you know, when the things happen. But if I can go out Wednesday night, I can see Shakewell. And if I can go out Sunday night, I can see Freddie. I think it's Sunday. Don't take my word for it, though. Make your own notes. Look this up. It's online.
Like Find the out Art Car it. Bazaar.
The Art Car Bazaar. And is it B-I-Z-A-R-R-E or B-A-Z-A-A-R? Oh, you know. The latter would mean that they were selling things or swapping and trading things related to the Art Car movement. The Art Car phenomenon. And I was in Art Car Camp at Burning Man, which some say was the first theme camp ever back in the day, because you had to have a car to get there. And
not like now, right?
I painted the, well,
scary, I know.
You could take a plane, you could take the Burner bus.
Yeah, those are
from
green.
Burners Without Borders.
All super green. No, it's never changed in that sense.
Well, the whole problem is, yeah, you go on the bus, but you can't take all your load of gear and stuff. You could only go on the Burner bus if you're joining an already set up camp that has most of the infrastructure that you don't. If you're just going to take a suitcase, you could go on the Burner bus.
It, yeah, I know. You're right. B-I-Z-A-R-R-E. How about
of
that?
Of course.
Wild, crazy
of
young
course.
People.
There, it's bizarre. It's wacky. It's kooky. It's wild. It's wiggly. It's Art Car Bazaar.
So that's Derek Service and Blake Moore hosting. It's up in Mendocino. But really what I want to do is Larry Fuentes. I found his unknown museum by accident in
Mendocino.
I'm over in San Rafael, I guess, officially. And I came around the corner looking for parking, and there was a building with thousands of dolls stuffed into a Volvo
and mile-high
piles of luggage on top of the building, on top of the Volvo. And then I walked around in his studio. No one was there for about 4 hours and took pictures of myself with giant props. Mm. All the 70s and 80s. The giant Instamatic camera that they used to have in the camera section.
Well, of course, we had the giant high-heeled shoe mobile, and we had the banana mobile, various things.
And that was part of the fun now with the 4K camera. You could kind of get some detail from all of the different events. And if they're, unfortunately, you're locked to that one tower, but when there was a flame machine around, you'd get backlighting. You could see detail in the middle of the night.
A wonderful 4K. Pegasus made out of silvery metal, and
it's on there. Yeah,
it flaps its wings.
Right,
it gallops with its hooves, and inside the barrel of its body, you see all these huge wheels and gears turning. And the only way to activate it is for 12 people to stand around it and press buttons simultaneously.
Right,
otherwise it doesn't work.
And at one point, we watched a pony walk up to it and hang around with it.
The thing about it was that you don't get from the pictures of it is it made a squealing noise as all this machinery worked. It was the various part, the metal was
Yeah, it's pretty dusty out there. But
and you know, Vermin Supreme has promised a pony to every American. And while we were doing our panel, he brought a pony on the stage, which was very cute. A black pony with a white mane, and it was a chat on the stage, of course. You know, like the whole world is a Johnny Carson show or something. He also gave a seminar. One of his workshops is how to use a bullhorn in a protest demonstration. How to get between the activists and the police and, you know, and take the tension out by comedy and by a lot of things. It was very well done, a very good presentation. So I enjoyed meeting him. He had some good films to show, including one that was just a clip of various newscasters denigrating him and so on. That was funny. Pretty funny. So it was lots of fun. And if you wanted to, you could buy all sorts of things. Crystals and essential oils and costumes.
See, Burning Man's all commercial now.
No, this isn't Burning Man. I'm at high. Starwood.
I'm high because I forgot what station I was on. That's
I'm at Starwood, and this is 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and 97.5 K24 8BR in Santa Cruz. Don't forget, it's online at www.kpfa.org.
And we're de-stressing you from and decompressing you. Is there always a decompression now
there,
in South San Francisco?
I haven't been going to them, but
me neither.
I've had jobs there.
I was greatly saddened by the last one I went to because of the emphasis on alcohol and,
yes,
and trance, shoegaze, ad infinitum.
Well, remember when our friend was visiting us, I brought her there, and at first she was interested in the superhero motif, but then when she got there, she said, "This is just some boring rave. I don't like it." And I'm sure Burning Man would be like that too, so I don't
so
like
it. So did you see the Golden Gate Bridge driving around?
Oh, yes, it was still there. The
quite
same
gorgeous
one I saw last year.
Yeah.
That's a great art car.
Yes.
There's some good art cars. There's a Dragon car and other cars. But they pump out the most ghastly music. You know, I'm not just being a fuddy-duddy. They pump out music that is not melodic or rhythmic or anything. It's all electronically produced robot sounds that sounds like grunting and and so forth. They're depriving themselves of the ability to hear. Well, we found that we couldn't do our show.
Oh, that's the volume.
Because the volume would overwhelm us. So we finally developed a strategy which really worked, which is instead of driving around to these art cars and installations, we drive around to all the toilets where that you get a cross-section of people going and coming, and they'd be attracted, and they'd come and they'd sit down, and we'd do our show, and the art car noise makers would not come nearby. Last year, when the theme was robots, a horrible robot came and visited our camp, and it made so much noise that it was shaking the ground and shaking the walls of our structures and everything. Its giant head loomed over the camp, over the tents and the tops. And what it was a scaled-up toy robot from the 50s, you know, like one of those toys, except 40 feet tall. And it also contained giant speakers that were pumping out really ugly music. And I went over to the base of it, and there were these guys in Speedos and cowboy hats sort of languidly dancing in the street to it, you know, who had come out of it. They had no idea that it was bugging the bejabers out of everybody in the neighborhood that it was now stopped in. And after a while, they finally went away, and our ears stopped ringing.
Yeah, I don't know what's on YouTube and what's not. I haven't done a comprehensive search because a lot of my early stuff has disappeared, probably from copyright. And some song in there was copyrighted, so off it went. And I was thinking of the early years where we would force that music about 5 miles away. You could still hear it, but it wasn't. I remember driving with Ginger out to the middle of the playa to go to sleep. And
and that was just
happen. No, you could still barely.
Well, remember in the old days, like in 1996, the first time I went there, they had all that music, but it was miles away, and you had to travel out there to.
That's what I'm saying.
To the rave camp.
That's how we put them there, and now it's you can't escape it.
There is a quiet area where Rusty Rebar used to try to camp, but quiet area is relative. It's still they still come down there, even by the fence out by the airport, which is where Michael always has his very nice Zen-like set-up camp. Anyway, I know I get the impression it can't last with these political tensions and the internal tensions, and some of the problems seem intractable. It's really unpleasant to get in there. The whole thing, the prospect of waiting in the line, whether or not there's a dust storm, waiting
the
hours
road,
and hours.
Just seeing still pictures of the road, maybe want to go out and do a little documentary
and
just
coming
about that
out.
River of steel that you're in. Yeah.
Coming out, too. Oh, right. You can look ahead and see it there for miles, you know. And Borg is trying to control it with the pulse system where for 45 minutes you can't move until they say you can.
Right, that came out of I think it was called The Intestines many years ago, in 2000, perhaps. We started up a thing called the intestine. Same thing, just smaller scale because, again, weren't as many people. But you had to do that because otherwise it's just your choice of where the steel river is, on the playa or on the road.
Exactly. On the road, the highway patrol flips out because now nothing is moving on the road. And it's just a solid mass of vehicles.
They can't even move around.
Yes.
Insane.
They have to use the one lane, the other lane, for everything. And I was there during that. You know, we came over a rise, and there was solid, unmoving metal, and we were, you know, barely across the railroad tracks to Girl.
That's in the old days when the numbers were less.
Mm-hmm.
Not the old days, middle days, I call them, sort of, where then people became impatient in their overloaded sedan, usually with weight on top of the car. And they would try to go around them and pray they
end
could
up
snork
stuck in the
else.
Ditch.
Well, they'd go quickly out of the line, get into this lane, and then overcorrect and fall off the road that way.
There's no shoulder on that
and
road.
Fall this way, yeah. And that's
it just
I would have to interface with the Nevada Highway Patrol.
It's like the road is on a berm, and it slants.
You're
once
up on
the concrete
raised road,
and on the raised road,
artificially made in a big
with
bowl,
ditches on either side. So if you get a tire over there, you know, overcorrecting can be.
And the Paiute
quiet.
Indians who like quiet and privacy here have shut off their res because. Too many yahoos.
On the way out, we took the other road, not the one that goes through Empire, and so we went along the side of Pyramid, and we kept seeing, you know, all these burners are swimming in the in the water, and they've taken their RVs down there and so on.
Yep.
Now, did they get the permits from the...
No, probably not. We don't even know they're needed.
And that's only $5, but I thought they weren't available during the thing.
They're not supposed to be down there, but you're talking about trillions of people, so of course people...
But the tribe is benefiting. They're paying for garbage. They're selling Indian tacos. They have rented land to all these entrepreneurs who put up a million booths of burner supplies, you know, and they're getting a cut of that. If Burning Man goes away, that money will certainly disappear, and they won't have that.
1,000 people an hour make money off Burning Man.
Oh. And Burning Man has to pay more money also, according to this weird document I told you about. They have to pay more all the time. Flash insists that the reason they want $100,000 is that otherwise they're not going to be able to make it financially with the extra fees and so forth that they have to. But the Bureau of Land Management has denied it, although they're still working on it.
It's a process of negotiation, but...
And beyond that, they've got Senior Trump putting on pressure and other things.
See? Just invite Ivanka out, and then Trump will make Burning Man a national monument, and it'll be cool.
Or a huge flattering statue of Trump put up for...
Because it's a
subgenius
hour.
A smack.
More than that.
Now, it's that CD player. CD player, one CD player, makes CDs run more slowly. Now it sounds fine. Fine sound.
All right. I hope the one over at, well, you know, is
everything seems okay inside.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of these days, I'm going to take Pete Goldie's invitation up to do the whole thing from Relodio, because he claims that he can get it to play through Radio Valencia and set it up so I can still play and mix music.
The night of the burn, I went over there and we did a... we missed the burn. And so we were... Because there was a little party going on.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And then after that
probably celebrating
party,
that they're not going to Burning Man.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Ron Turner was there. That was neat.
Oh, that's good. How was he? Was he okay?
He's good.
Looking good?
Slow, but he's
all
doing
right.
Well, he was having a fun time eating bad foods, I think.
At Pete Goldie's?
Yeah.
Right.
They did, Mr. Peter Goldie did his bathroom, of course.
Oh, yes. In the upper area.
Right. So,
adjacent to the broadcast area.
So, we went to the... I mean, we finally got stuck on the... right as the stand was burning down, the thing it was on.
The Eiffel Tower-like bottom, that took forever to burn, but the man was a goner within the first 5 minutes.
So you'll see it on there, but the sad part is for all their talk of technology, they didn't... Nobody watched the exposure, the iris. So when you've got these intense flames of the man,
it just burns.
There's
it
not
out.
Really much. You manipulate the camera to get the best vision of that. You can get some beautiful flames.
I wonder if they got
but
the folly.
These guys didn't.
Even from a distance, the folly was a superior burn because it was something frightening and out of control and wild about it, and really intense heat and fire, and they'd thrown in all these chemicals, so there were green flames and blue flames and so on. And that thing was very impressive to go into. It was like a giant version almost of the Addams Family house. There was a tower, many stairways to nowhere, stairways to other rooms, rooms with filing cabinets, with artifacts, and as I said, a room with names, including your name and Michael Pepe's name. But I didn't go back a second time because then that was the night that they set it on fire. And boy, did it burn. That's a good one. I could make a guess, but I think you could probably look it up and find to be sure if you wrote in the search words, the folly at Burning Man, it would probably include the night. It wouldn't have been in the first 2 days when I more or less stayed in camp. The first day I was in a different trailer. The second day I spent all the time fixing up my trailer, you know, taking lemon juice and rubbing down the playa, rubbing it off, cleaning the mirrors and the surfaces and sweeping the floor, putting it in the rugs, fixing up the bed. I got it, you know, fairly comfortable for a trailer that has no water, no power, no light, no doorknob, and so on. Fixed all those things with candles, bottled water, pliers attached to the door, and so on. Then I was ready to go out, and also my bicyclette was fixed so I could ride out. But I didn't ride out. I went in the TV car, which went out and it parked, and parked with the TV aperture pointing toward the folly. But we didn't expect this violent, gigantic fire, which seemed to shoot up like a rocket exhaust. And the waves of heat could be felt way, way back where we are. We were way beyond the safety barrier, which they all have to have. Ever since that guy ran into the fire, there has to be a 300-foot perimeter around everything.
And in the compression of the decent zoom lens they're using from the tower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is.
Did it show that thing burning?
Well, I was thinking, I don't know. That's, I'll have to ask the compositor if he got that first fire. I'm not sure when he started recording from the tower. But,
did they get the temple burning?
Yeah. And again, nobody paying attention to the exposure on the camera. So you don't get a good shot of it. You get just a big blob of light in the center.
Well, maybe they're expecting their cool robot to do all the filming. You know?
I think it was what I said earlier. By the time they're shooting the burn, everybody's so burned out, so tired. So,
but there's more
so
burning
to
come.
And then they still have to knock down this enormous camp they were in.
Well, they still have to do the temple burn.
And the temple. And
then the next day is the last day of Burning Man. And there, at that time, you have huge numbers of people who are frantically partying because they don't want Burning Man to end, and yet that night it will end, you know. So they're doing all the stuff that they usually do.
Tonight at 4:45 showtime in the morning, he cut the camera off.
Oh, yeah.
On Monday or Tuesday. So,
well, of course,
was incensed because he wanted to do a time lapse of the breakdown.
That would have been neat,
yeah.
But they never seemed to think of those ideas. Last year, I had promised to come on BMIR, and I broke off a show that I was doing, which was doing well. I had a good crowd. Now, things were working well, but I didn't want to default, so I got on my bicycle. I rode back to the station, and I couldn't do anything because they'd put away all the PSAs and things which I was supposed to read. All they were doing was drinking beer and playing their god-awful music. And there was nothing for me to do.
Right.
So yep. I stayed a while, and then I went back. The years before, Rusty Rebar and I would get on, and we would connect people who didn't have rides out with rides. We would help them. We would do all that. It's fun to do and read the PSAs and talk about the weather conditions on the road and so on. They put it all away. There was no way I could I could do that. And it's like they didn't even care. They didn't think about that. They were just thinking, well, it's over. Let's party, you know.
Yeah.
Jeez. And I don't know. It was so much fun to give people a ride out. Although at the time, of course, I was privately thinking, who doesn't have a way to get out? You know, who is so careless as not to
Well, think of it earlier. You were saying you could get a ride home with the art car, and there's an expanded version of that thinking that happens, I think, at Burning Man, where a lot of people go and they wind up in a different mindset. Well, they decide not to go with the people they came with or don't know them. And
well, you
it's
see,
endless.
One year I thought, you know, who comes without an exit plan? Then the very next year, because of circumstances, I didn't have an exit plan.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out. I ended up with Flash driving me and my stuff to the and left on the boardwalk in front of the Miners Club in Gerlach. And that, after, you know, a lot of angst and me having to leave things behind that I just couldn't put on his truck. But I did get picked up by my friend there, and we did leave, so I did get out, but
well, he
I
has
didn't
bad
really
memories of that place.
Did really. Well, he never stayed, you know.
Oh, that's where many years before I had taken...
Oh, like no, not Flash, but I meant my friend who came to get me.
Yes.
Didn't stay.
No.
But Flash, yes, has had his... Flash was the mayor of Gerlach at one time.
Yeah.
And, of course, people...
So as a political figure, you have to be shot at.
People at the TV thing were often asking Flash about that incident, and so he has described it many times in my...
It's
hearing.
On... I have... Yeah, I think I may have played it on your show over Radio Valencia one night, because it's an okay, boulderized version of it. I drove into Gerlach probably 20 minutes after it happened, and so that was, I think I told that story earlier, because it's so, it was just so weird to drive into this town, and there's nobody there, nobody anywhere, and then I go to the Blue House, and everybody I know...
Everybody
is
in there, anybody is
and they're
there.
Silent. They're jammed, standing, sitting. Nobody's talking.
Because the word has gone out that they
and
got Flash.
Just as I walk in and Chris Campbell says, Flash just got shot. And I'm looking at him like, what? The door bursts open and Jim Mason and Chicken walking. And they've just taken his Bronco 2 from center camp out to 3 Mile. And it's completely, you can't move. If you have a Bronco 2, you can go really fast and kind of stay above the skim for a little while. And they made it all the way back. But they, of course, had not heard either because they were out at center camp. And radios, I think the radios in those days had all been, it was all CB radio stuff back then. So I'm sure somebody got the word, but they were out in the playa driving, doing donuts in the mud and then came in. And that became the year of getting stuck.
Awful. But, of course, the 747 landing gear sunk down into the playa,
right.
And that
well,
was
they would have been
a headache and a half getting
if
it.
If it had rained at all.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of rain this year. We saw it. We saw this
yes,
huge storm at one point.
It was there,
the
but it didn't come
great.
It didn't come onto the playa. It may have been as close as the Hualapai playa. It seemed like it was going to rain, the wind blew, and we could see the clouds, but the rain did not fall, which of course is a good thing.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know, that's 94 or 5.
It broke the
94,
heat.
94, I think. It was the mud people
Well, 96 was bad enough. I mean, 97, I remember the horrors of dealing with the mud. Of course, we were on the Hualapai playa, but to walk out there, which I did, was getting the mud on the feet, you know, that grows bigger and bigger. And
gives you quite a feeling for armies that have had to fight General Mud with their gear, or refugees escaping the war. Anybody plus mud.
Well, a lot has sunk down into the playa, but then some things reemerge, like bones of... They had collected a bunch of animal bones this year, and in the past they made that giant moving tower out of bones. Then Flash's mammoth creation reminds one that the largest mammoth skeleton ever recovered in the United States came out of Lake Lahontan, came out of that playa. One which I think is in the George L. Page Museum in Los Angeles. There's a new natural history museum there, which I would like to see. Ironically, it was endowed by one of the Koch brothers, who are against the teaching of evolution and so on. But they diversify their money, and so they've actually endowed hospitals, and they endowed this wonderful paleontology science museum, despite their alleged reactionary beliefs. But we lost a Koch brother.
I would believe there's probably not one thing in this room that doesn't owe itself to the Koch brothers. Yeah, maybe that camera if it's from Japan.
What about that plastic Barbie doll over there?
Yep.
Oh, that's from the Koch brothers also?
Yeah, the Koch brothers aren't an entity that you see, but they are so infused into America. There's a wonderful book that just came out called Kochlandia, and if you wonder about why the Koch brothers are so powerful, I recommend that book. It's really scary. There have always been people like that in history, but they are so completely shot through our world.
The Vanderbilts, the Rockefellers, J.P. Morgan.
If it's made in America, they have a hand in it.
Yeah.
They're huge. They're way beyond. They're like the coal fires.
What do they think of Trump's screwball tariffs?
He's screwing things up.
He is screwing things up.
For them. Yeah.
So have they no ability to check him?
If you cared, and if you have enough money, and if you were in the system, they have a college of thought. They get together the best Republican minds right now, and they are deciding what's going to happen post-Trump.
If you read the Wall Street Journal, you see this is the what...
they're way out ahead of us.
Yeah, they... it's the intellectual basis of republicanism, such as it is in those pages. You know, they're not. It's not insanity about Jesus and Hillary Clinton and so on.
That's just diversion.
Right, right.
The real policymakers are gathering right now. They'll know that they'll have to get rid of the guy.
He's been
very useful, but
Despite the elegant William Buckley-esque writing, it still seems sophistry to me. You know, it still seems just an argument created to position them with a little bit more virtue and differentiate themselves from the profanum vulgus, rubes, the ones who have bought into the message.
Man, I hope I get a bigger TV next year.
How big?
No, it's just...
How big is that, Johnny?
Bigger TV, that's America.
We had fun doing that Johnny Carson show. I hope we do it again. But I think the guy who built the car was really tired out by the end of the event because he had to do so much work.
Where does the truck live? The rest of the year?
I forget what state he comes from, but he has to drive it there and then he has to build it partly there.
It'd be great to take it out on the highway.
Put all the details.
On a sunset in Arizona, saying you're rolling along, but the sound could come from you guys. Just be doing shows and with great backdrops.
I think it would be.
Which is illegal in California.
Illegal for us to do that because not only is it a distraction to motorists, but in our set, we wouldn't have seat belts on and so forth. It's like walking around inside an RV while it's in motion, which you're never supposed to do, or a trailer, which you're never supposed to do, but people do it all the time.
There was a nice ship that I would see at night. I never saw in the daytime. And they lit up the main mast and the mast, but none of the spars and none of the wires. It would have looked magical with much more expensive lighting. Come on, tell them.
Yes, they should do that. Last year, the locomotive crash that they created, you know, had beautiful locomotives and nice track and a great fireworks show at the end. But the actual crashing of the neon-coated locomotives was sort of anticlimactic. So it should have had a huge smash. And instead, it's more like they bumped and then a lot of... fireworks went off and it was set on fire. You know. And after waiting for, you know, 2 hours or whatever, but the crew had really immersed themselves in it. They locomotives looked good. People at the camp dressed in engineers' striped overalls and hats, and they carried oil rags and oil cans and so on. But they left out the most essential component of a steam locomotive, the pistons. That's why those things
were
looked
funny. Were they one-to-one size?
They were the right size. They had tenders, which were the right
how
size.
How long was the track?
The track was, well, the
ouch, Mommy.
Long enough so that the two engines could be waved back, and I took my bicycle across the track just for the adventure of bumping my bicycle across the track in the middle of the playa.
Yeah.
And then you would notice that not only the ties, but the rails themselves were made out of wood and carved.
Right.
I know I'm not answering your question as to how long it actually was, but it was far enough so that both locos had dwindled in the distance when I went across it in the middle. How far would that be? Possibly 400 feet or something like that. Something like that. Not a great deal of different distance. It would be great fun to have something on tracks, but the Borg would never allow it. You know, that's too much disruption to the playa.
Pounding the spikes in would hurt the dirt.
It would hurt the dirt, and they say that even when you pull them out, then they cave in later, and you
it's true. You make all these divots, and yeah, because the pilot is a very fragile world, but it's kind of, and that's what forced Burning Man into one place every year. It's sort of like it's going to ruin the thing, so we'll just have it ruin it here.
They ruin the same place over and over again.
And I was trying to explain to some folks we were watching. From the camera, the camera's facing south, sort of southwest, and it's the middle of the day, it's 104, nobody's around, and then a sheriff's car came down one road from left to right, and then another sheriff's car, you know, so they were responding to something serious, and then a third BLM Ranger car, but the dust from that movement just hung in the air for about an hour. It was really dramatic looking, and I was trying to explain to folks about that.
Yes.
What happens around the roads, and that's kind of where the little bit of rain I like coming in gives you a crust that sort of suppresses that for a while.
Well, that's why they have the water trucks that lay down the yeah. roads, so they won't be, so the passage of vehicles won't produce the dust, since most of the dust is produced by
it's
vehicles.
Those roads, yeah.
But some of the dust is not produced by vehicles, and that dust comes when the heat is really strong and an area of the playa, not Burning Man, is hit by the sun and it becomes so hot that it creates an up-rushing column of air above it. And as that air rushes up, the other air rushes toward that spot and it takes with it a hell of a lot of dust and you get big dust storms that are not caused by vehicles. For the most part, the steady drift of dust is from vehicles coming through the gate.
No, and that was fun to tell, to explain to people what was going on, because my friends couldn't imagine dust clouds moving that quickly. There'd be whiteout for a while, but then suddenly it wouldn't be there. So they thought it was a time lapse being performed. And I said, no, that's actually the speed at which some events move in that dynamic area.
I remember when they had the simoon, that was kind of terrifying because like a wave, the dust rose to a huge height and it curled over and you knew it was going to come fall, but it was just hanging way up in the sky and it was coming down and there was nothing that could be.
Last time I was out in, I went to Alabama Hills last September and went to the end of the north end of the hills and was trying to figure out whether I wanted to go down in the valley and camp out there. I really like this. You're up high, just across from the Ranger Road, and in the morning it's a great place to wake up because the Sierras will be lit by the sun. And I had pulled my tent out of my car and was walking to a place I thought I'd set it up, and I looked down into the valley, maybe 5 miles below me, and that exact thing was happening. This enormous storm was coming up the valley. So, and before I could even make coffee, the storm was upon us. And I slept in the car like a boat, just buffeted all night. And these enormous winds coming down this valley, this 100 miles valley, and they were burning Yosemite that weekend.
I think
controlled burns.
Some kind of fire was happening while Burning Man was happening because it seemed the sky was red and we were smelling the smoke again, as when in the year when with the California fires. Didn't they have a fire while that was happening, a California fire?
I don't actually know if they were where you guys were. I didn't see anything. We looked at the weather map.
But a fire was happening in California, wasn't it?
I'm sure I read that there was one.
But
the weather map, we were trying to watch the playa to see how much rainfall that you guys might get, because to your west, there was a lot of rain this year. Which is, yeah, all goes down into the playa, because you're very close to water there.
About 2 feet away from it.
It depends on where you are. It's anywhere from 6 to 20 feet around you.
If you dig a hole, you start coming to wet sand pretty damn soon.
Yeah.
And then the further seep is.
Yeah, but you can actually get to water after about. In some places where you can find out very quickly by driving around there on a rainy day, because that's how the capillary action of the rain on top of the playa pulls up the rain from below the playa, and that's what gets you stuck. And you are stuck. The locals will pull you out for $40 to $60.
Stuff does ooze up out of the playa. Bones and things are forced up by the freezing and thawing. Just as in New Orleans, you can't bury in the graveyards because the coffins will be forced up out of the mucky, gooey, wet ground. So they have all these mausoleums above ground. And speaking of rebar, there were those dangerous pieces of rebar sticking up. And the woman in the trailer next to mine was riding along on a Segway, and one wheel hit this rebar, and she was flung forward and ended up with a fracture of her lower arm and wrist. And, so she had to go through that.
It says right there on the ticket. I found a little pile of 45... spent 45 shells once, and it took a very close wide angle picture, so it looks like a huge pile of 50 gallon drums, but it was so delicate sitting out there in the middle of the playa, and you wouldn't have seen it unless you stopped as I did, and somebody shot out there and then swept up their little shells and left them. Sometimes you can find 50 caliber slugs from Navy planes flying over it post-World War II, shooting into the river, into the lake areas. Where I was camping in Alabama Hills is where Sal Mineo and James Stewart, people like that, shot a movie back in the early 50s, mid-50s. And the flat area down an old movie road about five, where I was talking about, where the dust storm was coming up about 5 miles away down in the valley, would fill up with only 1 to 2 inches of water, but it would be, it looked like a huge deep lake, and you're back in Michigan or someplace in your mind, in your western mind. Sal Mineo, of course, played the Indian, and James Stewart was talking to folks in a teepee, so that's where you do it, by Lone Pine. And they had a great economy. Talk about Burning Man leaving. There was a huge economy in Lone Pine and independence of movie companies coming out from silent movies to about the time of the 70s when cameras got smaller and you could go run around and shoot with those.
Actually, in Winchester 73, Rock Hudson plays an Indian. And the amazing thing about it is, he does a good job. He's not like Victor Mature playing Cochise, which also has happened. But, of course, it's a small part where, you know, they're trading the rifles and saying, here's a rifle for you, Injun, you know, and trying to give him some piece of shit. And he sees the 73 and he says, no, I want this one. And pretty soon the trader is dead. They don't even show it, you know, they just show he's got the rifle and the trader's body is back there, kind of hacked up. There's not a close up, but I thought that scene was rather deftly done. In fact, I like it. It has this scene of the Injun attack where the guy is with his wife and he says, I'll ride off and get help, you know, and he rides off, and now she's there with frantically trying to drive the wagon in front of the warriors that are coming faster and faster.
Well, this time we just went out.
I must have seen this thing 100 times.
Kind of, we got two.
Winchester 73.
Yeah.
To seven people, this gun was a magnet, a treasure, a weapon that promised life and dealt out death. For this saga of the West, Universal International has assembled a matchless cast. James Stewart, whose personal feud led to one of the grimmest manhunts ever filmed.
Winchester 73.
Shelley Winters, trigger sharp and dangerous in her own way. Dan Duryea as vicious Waco Johnny Dean, who killed to get the gun.
Yeah, he's the bad
Stephen
guy.
McNally, brutal, deadly, who wanted the rifle to slaughter men.
Sound like an Indian trader, but with all that smoke in the hills and you with no gun.
Why don't you shoot?
The man's right. Give him the gun.
Supposing I don't tell you. Then what?
One thing that's strange is that otherwise gentle Jimmy Stewart flips out when you see the psycho element of his character.
I didn't care about the last one. Seeing Jimmy Stewart, of all people, be mean was really thrilling.
He suddenly turned violent and slammed Dan Duryea's head down in the bar.
Yeah, that was a... I've read interviews where he talks about making that career change.
It was after the war. He came back after flying in a bomber, and he decided he didn't want to do the twinkly parts anymore. Life was too short.
Oh, well. No guns anymore.
That's
not
right.
America.
Just cute kids. Just look at them as they dance along. Yes, that you've ever seen. Look at their hijinks and shenanigans.
Well, I do believe it's our friend from the East.
It is?
Friend, right.
Yeah, well, friend, so-called friend. Who?
Friend.
So how was your Burning Man?
Friend. Friend.
No, it was, we are fellow subgenius.
Subgenius?
And I would call that a friend. Hey, yeah, you know what that reminds me? Both
out where a subgenius is your friend. Now, what was it? What you were making some sort of a categorical distinction there?
He was, but he's, you know, he might be gone. Oh, there he goes.
There
it's
he
a
is.
Delay in his own.
There he is, right there. Yes, Alley Cat is the name of the insufferable.
And I don't think Alley Cat's been out to Subgenius, Next Day, and Burning Man in a long time.
Another fellow of ours, and me.
Byron Werner? Byron
Werner. Who has an opening on,
as we say,
October 9th
Saint
in Little Rock.
Byron Werner.
I'll be there.
He's out there?
Yeah, he lives in Little Rock.
But you're in Hollywood or wherever
you are.
Yeah,
that's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood. Well, we're actually
that's not where Byron is.
Subgenius Hollywood here.
You must be an old fogey who doesn't understand the virtual world we travel in now.
The one that's always moving forward?
That's right.
Why can't it go backwards?
And there is no dust. I go to Burning Man without the dust.
Because there's nothing behind. There's nothing backward. There's only forward.
And so many people right now are listening on their radios, and they have come home from Burning Man, and now everything's normal again.
Radio. Boy, are they burned.
And X-Day. How many people are listening went to X-Day? Well,
Well, I know many who did.
But they're not listening to the radio right now. That's the category.
I may have spoken too much out of turn about X-Day. The conversational nature of this show often makes me say things that are indiscreet, though I try not to. I'm only human. When I am cut, do I not bleed? When I am punched in the nose, do I not see those little cartoon stars floating around? And, they're little planets. There's a Saturn there, see? That's, we cartoonists call that a quimp. And then there are the little, five-pointed stars that float around.
You're a cartoon? Did you just say you're a cartoon?
I said I was a cartoonist, but of course I am a cartoon, and so are you. Don't forget, we're all on the big drawing board in that incredibly popular cosmic cartoon strip, The Earthlings. What'll they do next? They're fouling their own nest. Don't forget to see the next episode. The exciting climax is coming real soon.
And Negative Land's going on tour. Can you imagine that?
Yes, you can't keep Mark Hosler down.
Nope. And
Dracula is risen from the grave.
Dracula and keeping Showman down. The Rolling Stones are about to start a new tour of America.
The
consummate showman, the including Johnny Depp's dad in the pirate movie, if you believe that stuff. I like that little scene, though.
Yes, that was a good scene. Yeah. You reminded me of it.
And then, because of that scene, they did the bloated fifth one, Johnny Depp pirate movie, and they had to put in Sir Paul McCartney in that one. They had to.
Now, what role did he essay? What role did Paul McCartney play?
Hey, Rob made me watch it once. It's really dumb. It's just, you know, the you set the bar with Keith Richards, and then you have to do something in the fifth one. And I have not seen the movie. I can't comment on it, but... I've seen that scene because, of course, you can go to YouTube. But it's insufferable. It's sort of... It just goes on too long. It's not funny. And it's a sad thing of say... It's like someone calling the show. You sound like you're talking in one of those little... what were they called? Cardio dynamic.
Now she's
mics.
Hit the big time in the USA. Well,
can it be the Beach Old Fogies, maybe?
Well, if you want to be mean, sure, you can call anybody names. Why, and sure.
The audience just wants to hear the same thing over and over.
Yes, they just want to hear the same puzzling evidence show they've been listening to all these years. They don't want anything new added to it.
They say.
If they don't play California Girls, then the audience complains and wants their money back.
Well, that's the problem of popularity. But
90. I'm just looking here. In 1993, I went to a Rudy Ray Moore concert and taped that. That was a lot of fun. And I saw a person my age, a guy my age, and I looked over at him, and he was mouthing Rudy Ray Moore's exact lines the way I do the Firesong Theater. That was a fun moment. I realized that he had probably grown up with Moore as his background, just as I grew up with the Firesong Theater as mine, for comic comments on my present situation.
I got to call and find out what's delaying that book, or maybe it has come out.
Nobody knows where I feel. Where I love the woman.
We're getting ready to go to work now. Because we work at doing the show, and then we work at work. There's never enough.
We work hard, we play hard.
That's the thing about Burning Man that I always recommend people to go, perhaps if they can afford it and do it, is because it is playing hard, and some of that is pretty important.
In all that struggle, sometimes you have to remind people, the reason you're here at this thing is to have fun. So what's the matter with you people? Why aren't you having fun? Stop bitching and griping and just realize you're camping with your friends in the desert. You're going to like talking about it later. Why don't you confess that it's enjoyable now? Stop talking about all your problems. You can't find the tools you want. The food's gone bad. The ice costs too much. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Fun. Oh, yeah.
Fun, fun, fun.
I need a woman.
For most of the entire family.
Well, there are kids there. Kids riding around.
Lux presents Hollywood.
Oh,
good Lord. What's the matter with you? Tone it down. Yes, Hollywood is back in the news again, and here's Johnny Grant, the midget vice mayor of Hollywood, about to give a gigantic floral bouquet to Dottie Smith, winner of the Lux Liquid Hours special contest competition, where she and several other haunted housewives plunged their arms up to the elbows in the best soap ever made in the United States of America.
A lifetime supply of Lux.
From Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
The special tonight we bring you the story of a rifle.
The perfect 1-in-1,000 Winchester, known as the Winchester 73.
Wow, I want
so
one.
So named because it was
my
perfected
dad even
in
wanted
the
one.
Year,
I don't know if it was a 73, but the Winchester was so iconic that he was affected by its history.
Well, it wouldn't jam like those others. It was rapid fire.
It had actually better effective range than the Henrys and the cheaper ones. But
where would you put the Sharps Buffalo rifle in there?
That's a different sort of thing because it's a single shot. But you could do a mile with that thing. Or
it will shoot a huge distance.
That would depend on the cartridge load.
Yeah, sure. And those were all, you know, who knows what you were buying on the frontier.
Don't you ever get tired of chasing shadows, Mitch? West Ridge again, then.
Good old subjugation.
What is it good for?
Native peoples.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to check out
those good old days. When we were at war.
We are now.
The rest of the world.
I think we're
at
that's war. Pretty much it. Yeah, that's our America's business is being at war with the rest
we're
of the world.
We're in eternal war. I talk about the war and people say, what war? The war that's going on now.
Well, look around. The war that is in our name.
The war that is us against them.
Boy, that goes back to the early subgenius. What were we just doing that? The us against them. It is the basic religious get together.
We made it, Fred. We're on Mars.
No sweat.
Oh, there's no war up here on Mars.
Check off system.
Yeah.
So get off my property.
The war god's planet. And, yeah. Okay. Let's start one. But raiding other people's.
This is Captain Fred Thomas.
Raiding other people's villages and stealing their horses was.
Colonization
was so much
killing
fun.
Their horses, killing their beloved horses.
That's
not
different.
To mention.
Well, that would be that's part
dumb.
Of war. Definitely,
it is after all.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Think of the panic before Dunkirk when the French and British armies were driven back. They had all this equipment. They had to destroy it. Otherwise, the Germans would get it. They would put a bullet in the radiator and run the trucks until the engine seized up. They would make bonfires of weapons and all the stuff that they had produced before the war.
To this day, you can visit Dunkirk.
Open the shuttlecock. You always have to destroy the toys and they're going to get used.
At the same time all this was happening, they were being dive bombed by Stukas and civilians were being blown up and buildings were being blown up.
And that's
legs
happening
were,
right now.
We're
as
in trees.
We speak,
yeah.
In countries around the world.
And we're doing it.
This news.
We are doing it in Syria.
A lot of people are doing it.
But we just killed 9,000 people in Syria with a bombing run, and that wasn't even on the front page. That was in tiny, where is it here in the paper? It just mentions it casually. But it's not like we're going to get away with this forever. People have long memories. Like in the Balkans, where they remembered being mistreated in the Middle Ages, and they came out, with their deplorable reaction. It's going to.
You said we have long. I'm sorry. Long. We have.
They have long memories. We have no memory.
We have forgotten
about it already. They have not forgotten that. Their ceiling fell and killed their children and their family and all that stuff. They're not ever going to forget that. So, that's what we think. What about you? We're interested in your opinion. Your opinion is important to us. Please let us know how we're doing because we aim to help you. Yes, give me some. A drug of oblivion. to empty some dull opiate to the drains, 1 minute past, and Lethe wards have sunk.
The ward?
Lethe wards.
I know.
Toward
Lethe. Did sink. A little Japanese sub.
A Japanese mini sub?
Yeah, right off where I used to live. And they had a show years ago. I saw two of the ancient 80-year-old former, probably were young men, very young men at the time, looking at the sea bottom right off of Pearl Harbor, looking for the submarine. They never found it. That was a big deal. The long-lance torpedoes they found.
They still haven't found what they're looking for.
They kept that so secret that even my father was telling me not so many decades ago that no submarines are in Pearl Harbor. But they were. That's what brought around the end of the show.
Oh, don't say that, because before you know it, the wings of the Angel of Death are heard. The fellow in the bright nightgown. And he's coming right here to shut down the show. Well, I have to say, it's been fun, and now we've got to pack up our tents and silently steal away. But we'll be back next week for another show amazingly similar to this
one. You can listen to Hal's Radio Valencia show this evening at 10.
Yes, now I've got to feed the monster. I've got lots of content I'm going to put in, but of course, it's the magic hand of chance that produces entertainment. So good night, and good gravy, and good golly. And they